My goodness, where would we be without that blood? Where would we be? My, we'd be lost on our way to hell. That's where we'd be. That blood cleanses us from all our sins. That blood has been shed because of our sins, shed by the Holy One of God. My, we ought to be thankful to Him, appreciative. We ought to love Him more because He first loved us, gave His life for us. No man taketh his life, but he laid it down freely, didn't he? Thank God for that. I appreciate the Lord Jesus Christ, and I love Him today. Thank you all again for the opportunity to come and preach to you. Just to let everybody know, I'm scheduled for 5 Sundays here through today and through the rest of March and so forth. And praise the Lord. Be all right with me if it's on right past that too. So just, you know, we do have Easter Sunday on the first or second week of April. I can't believe it. I believe it's the first week of April this year. But anyway, try to keep myself available and so forth. And I just want to be used of God any way that He wants to use me. And I'm thankful for that opportunity that you allow God to allow me to come up here. So I thank you for that. It's good to be with you people. And I love you very much. And I tell you, God's hand is upon this work up here. I do believe that. He's not done with New Hope Independent Baptist Church. I think He has something good, something great. And the most important thing of all, I think there's some souls around this area that needs to be saved. And God wants to save them. And I believe He can use you fine folks to be able to lead them and win them to the Lord Jesus Christ. If we'll just be about that business. Amen? All right. We all want to thank you that we can come and worship together today. Thank you for coming out and so forth. Next week, I would like to just here, I announced it in Sunday school. Next Sunday morning, Lord willing, if He continues to lead in the way that He's laid upon my heart, I want to start in the book of Genesis for Sunday school. The book of Genesis. And start in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And whenever I do a study like that, verse by verse, I like for you to be in on it right at the very beginning, if it's possible. So call your friends, call others from the church that's not here today. Hopefully they'll be able to come next week. Hopefully people will get well and so forth so that they can get in on the very start and the foundation of that study in the book of Genesis. Tonight, if you'll come back, I'm going to be preaching on the body of Christ, the necessity of the body of Christ. Are you in the body of Christ? And what is our job as the body of Christ? What does God expect from the body of Christ, you see? And so please come back tonight for that. All right. With that being said, I'd like to read something, if you will. It'll take time here. I know it takes time out of my preaching time, but we'll work that. This message I have today, it may go into next Sunday morning as well, okay, as a two-part. We'll see how the Lord directs on it. But I want to read something that was written in the year 1965, that was said in 1965. How many of you remember Paul Harvey? Raise of hands. Remember him? Yeah, coming on the radio and having a little excerpt time of talking. A lot of you younger folks never heard him or so forth, but maybe pull him up on YouTube because that's where I found this at, and a saying that he had. And he put this transcript into being in 1965. Now, how many years ago was that? 55 years ago, 56 now. We're in 2021, right? So going on 56 years ago. And I want you, as I read this, and this correlates with how I'm going to start my message this morning. And I want to preach to you this morning on discernment. Now, the word discernment, is a word that is missing from our vocabulary today. I mean, be honest about it. When is the last time you have heard a preacher preach and mention the word discernment? When has a preacher preached a message about discernment? When have you heard that word How many times did you hear it in the year 2020? If at all, you see. It's a word that has almost been forgotten in our circles today. And it's a vitally important word that we need to use and put back into use again, discernment. Because without discernment, my friend, we cannot discern between good and evil, between right and wrong, you see. We need discernment so that we can discern between those things. Well, Paul Harvey wrote, and he titled it, "If I Were the Devil." He goes on to say, "If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness. And I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population. But I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee." You. So I'd set about, however necessary, to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I think Satan has done a good job of that, haven't you? Look around our country at the mess that our churches are in. I'd begin with a campaign of whisperers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve, "Do as you please." Wow. We were talking about that earlier, wasn't we? There's some folks, that Christian folks, they just want to do as they please. I do what feels good to me. I do what this flesh wants to do. But let me continue on. To the young, listen up, young people. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that that's what's bad is good, and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, "Our Father, which art in Washington." We do depend too much on the government, don't we? Yeah. Our trust and our faith should be in God. I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. Boy, he's done that, hasn't he? You can't turn that one-eyed monster on without some kind of filth pouring out of it. Young people today are not satisfied with the status quo. Got to have something more exciting, more invigorating. Something that's more flashy, more filth, more nudity, more cussing, all such as that. He goes on to say, I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. He's done that, hasn't he? And I'm not just talking about the illegal ones. Look at our country and the demise that it's in on prescription drugs today. To the very point that 50,000 people die every year in the United States just on overdose of prescription pills. And most of them being young. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. That's what you got going on today, all around us. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves. Oh my. We don't have to go very far for that, do we? The homes are in chaos today. Instead of the parents leading the home, the children are leading the home. The parents don't tell the children what to do, the children tell the parents what to do. Ain't that right? Well, if I were the devil, I'd have churches at war with themselves. Oh, yeah. Conflict in the churches. And nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. That lying news media. And people turn that thing on, listen to those anchormen and those news people as if they were given the gospel. And they believe everything that comes across that screen. Say, did you know you cannot believe everything the lying news media tells you? If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Mind you, this was written in 1965. You been to your schools lately? I don't think there's a public school in the United States of America that does not have one or more police officers there every day to patrol it in the schools. And drug-sniffing dogs come in at random. They bring them in to find drugs and so forth. I just heard of a police officer who got killed at a basketball game down in Louisiana this weekend. Friday night, I believe it was. Shot to death. That's what we've got. Must I say how our young people have been being bombarded today in our school system to tolerate false religions, tolerate this and tolerate that, and all the ungodly mess of homosexuality and lesbianism and all this transgender junk, to accept it and to be part of it and to become like them? Is that what you want for your children? The devil's at work. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. 1965. 10 years later, in 1975, our prisons were had the largest population, and still does, in the whole world. See, when you take God out of schools, and you take the Ten Commandments out of schools, and when you take prayer out of schools, and you teach children that they can just be as they want to and live as they want to, my friend, let me tell you something. And there's no consequences thereof. There is consequences. That's the reason why our prisons are full. There are consequences of sin. Not only is our prisons full, may I say this, our cemeteries are filling up too. With needlessly young people getting killed by drugs and alcohol. Yeah. And all the debauchery that comes along with it. Well, if I were the devil, I'd have judges promoting pornography. That's what you got in America. It's rampant. And it's poisoning young people, middle-aged people, and older people's minds. Poisoning it. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing and abusing boys and girls and church money. And isn't that rampant across our nation? I'm telling you, it's sad. Sad. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbols of Easter an egg and the symbols of Christmas a bottle. That's what you got. Yeah. They're not holy days anymore. Mm-mm. They're the party days, party time. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who won't until I have killed the incentive of the ambitions. And that's exactly what you've got going on in your country today. Yeah. I don't know how much longer businesses will be able to stand, especially small businesses. Yeah. See, that's communism. Take from those who have and give to those who will not work. Mm-hmm. That wants a free ride. Yeah. And kill any incentive of the ambition to work. And what do you bet I could get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich? 1965. Got casinos everywhere, but got this stinking lottery everywhere. And let me tell you this, lottery is nothing but gambling. You say, oh, no, it's not gambling. They cast lots for Jesus' garment. They were gambling for his garment. I don't care. You can dress it up and any way you want to. Say, oh, it helps our school funds good for greater education. Where has it helped? I remember when they was advertising that trash back in the 1980s and 90s to legalize the lottery. We have the poorest school system and education system in all the world just about now. I would caution against extremes. I'm an extremist. I'm a total Bible believer. I believe, thus saith the Lord, from cover to cover. That makes me an extremist in their eyes, in this world's eyes. Because I believe the book, and I'll not surrender the book, and I'll not compromise the book, you see. I'll not compromise it in my home. I will not compromise it in my church. I will not compromise the Word of God. I would caution against extremes and hard work. I would caution against extremes and patriotism. You know, your freedom of speech is gone in America today. Yep, it's gone. You try to stand up and say you're a patriot. See what the news media do for you and to you. I would caution extremes against moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned. That swinging is more fun. In other words, shacking up together. Making the excuse everybody else is doing it. Mom and dads, you better get control of your children in your home. Do right, live right, teach them right. To live right. Marriage is still honorable for God. Well, I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on the TV is the way to be. And thus, I could undress you in public. I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what Paul Harvey. And he signs it goodbye. If that does not describe homes in America, the churches in America, the way of life that is tolerated in America. Scripture this morning, if you will, turn into 1 Kings. 1 Kings. With a note on this that I just read, I wrote down some things here. I heard a little thing the other day about what's killing American churches. There's three philosophies that are killing American churches today. They say out there that worship is subjective. In other words, worship as you choose. Is that right? Let us discern now. No. You have to worship as you choose. You have to worship as God says, as the book says. See, if you worship as you choose, see, that's where the church get into this thing, well, let's change our music. Let's go with some of the up music, the upbeat, so we can draw in the young people, you see. Oh, because them old-fashioned songs that y'all sing, that's just not the end thing anymore. Let me say this. The first thing that causes a church to start going down the wrong path is when they change their music. Hear me well. When you go away from good, godly songs that you can understand, that are scriptural, beat, it sounds like a bunch of jungle music when it's being played and sung, then my friend, you have just invited the world to come in. Now, do you want the world to come into your church? Or do you want God to be welcome to come into your church? And let me say this while I'm on that topic. Look at your home and address your home. Do you want the world to come in your home? Go ahead and turn up that music then of the world. Go ahead and allow it to come in. And the devil will come on in and be welcome and set up place in there. And then he'll take control. So worship, they say, is subjective. Worship as you choose. No, you don't. You worship according to the Word of God and the principles of God and the order of God. He's laid it down for us. We serve the Holy God. He still says today, be ye holy, for I am holy. He does not say, be ye worldly. No, world. Not the world. Well, the next thing, let me say this. When your music goes and you start tolerating everything else to come in, your Bible will be the next thing that goes out the door. That's the order of things, as the world goes. I've seen it happen in churches. Their music standards dwindle. And they have no more principles than that. Well, secondly, what's killing American churches? Never judge anything. Now, is that right? Now, we're talking about discernment here. Never judge anything. Judge not, lest you be judged. I hear that so much, especially when you're out street preaching. People come up to you, judge not, lest you be judged. They haven't heard a word that you've been preaching. They just walked up and started saying that. Because they see a man standing out there holding a Bible up in the air and preaching the Word of God. And they want to come by and battle you, you see. Those words are battle. Try to discourage you. Make you shut up, you see. They say, judge not. Hold no negative opinions. Let me tell you something. You can't start a vehicle without having a positive and a negative. Is that correct? You go out there and just take your negative cable off, see if you can start on the positive. This Bible right here is written. God has written in such a way that for every verse of a positive verse, there's a negative verse. Take the book of Proverbs, for instance. Go through there and read it. Oh, my. Let me say this about this. You should never judge. Truth is always singular. Absolute truth. And truth demands. Truth. God is absolute judgment. So when we get this mentality, oh, we shouldn't judge anything that's wrong. That's a lack of discernment. Then the third thing that's killing American churches is a one-sided gospel. One-sided. All we want to talk about is just going to heaven, doing good. Never talk about the judgment of God. Never preach and talk about hell. And never talk about the wrath of God. Never mention about there's consequences to sin. See, that's what the world wants. A person that's living in sin doesn't want to hear. There's a consequence of sin, you see. Remember when you were lost. The last thing I wanted to hear when I was lost, that there's a judgment of God, that there's a wrath of God, and there's a consequences for the sin I was doing. I didn't want to hear that. Let me say this. Just as well as there's heaven, there is a hell. And Jesus spoke more about hell than he did heaven. Today in our churches across America, I think one of the greatest downfalls of our country and our churches is because of the lack of discernment. People are religious, but they have no discernment. Over there in 1 Kings, if you're there with me, chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. Mankind today is void of discernment. Void of discernment. 1 Kings chapter 3. Verse 5, I'm going to start in. Verse 5. The Bible says, Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth. Why did God have mercy upon upon David? Great mercy, that is. Because he walked in truth, God's truth. If you're not walking in truth and desiring truth, you walk in falseness. You see, Solomon said, according as he walked before thee in truth, and as in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee, and thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king, instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore. God had asked him, what do you desire? I'll give it. Notice verse 9 what he asked for. Solomon. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this by so great a people? And look, notice now what happens when you ask for discernment. It pleases God. Verse 10. And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, Solomon could ask for that. Well, that's a good thing, isn't it? Ask for a long life. But God says it's better to ask for discernment. Matter of fact, you ask for discernment and you have discernment, you'll get a long life. The reason why so many lives are shortened today through the drugs and alcohol and everything else, and like I said, the debauchery a while ago, because they shorten their life because they don't have no discernment. They can't discern. People can't between good and evil, right and wrong. So they go out here and get hooked on these drugs and so forth. Listen to me, young people. I've never met a person yet that has taught me that they started taking drugs all on their own while they were sitting all by themselves. They just decided to take some drugs, started smoking a joint or whatever it is. I've never met a person yet that told me that I started drinking alcohol. I drank my first beer or took my first drink of liquor while I was by myself all alone. It's always with someone else. Them prodding you on, prompting you on, and saying, come on now, you want to be my friend? Do this. The peer pressure and so forth. The lack of discernment, though, is the greatest thing that causes these things and causes you to go into sin. The lack of discernment. And it pleased God that he asked for discernment. And God said unto him, verse 11, because thou hast asked this thing and hast not asked long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. Oh God, we thank you for discernment. Lord, if it's not for that, we couldn't even understand your book, your words. Father, we pray that you would give us a greater understanding. Give us a greater discernment. Help us, Lord, to fall deeper and closer in love. Have a closer walk with you, dear Lord, and a deeper love for you and the things that you have. Father, we thank you and we love you. Father, if there's anyone here today, dear God, that does not know Jesus Christ as Savior, Father, may today be the day that they meet Jesus. Lord, that they come and receive Jesus Christ as Savior, trusting His blood to forgive them of their sins, trusting you, dear Lord, for the work that you have completed on Calvary for our sins. Father, we thank you, we love you, we praise you, for we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.